From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The United States Senate, in the grip of the Republican Party, is continuing its mad dash to confirm all of President Donald Trump's judicial appointees as fast as possible. With only a few working days left in the calendar year for 2018, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is hoping to move dozens of judicial nominees from various committees to the Senate for confirmation before year end. The Senate has confirmed more nominees in the first 2 years of Trump's presidency than ever before in the nation's history. Because Republicans control the Senate, there's nothing that Democrats can do to stop the confirmation. My guest Marjorie Cohn recently published an article on Truthout entitled "Trump's Judges Imperil Our Rights for Decades." Marjorie Cohn is a professor emerita at the Thomas Jefferson School of Law. Welcome to the program, Marjorie.
Thanks for having me, Sonali.
So there is a theory that the reason that the Republican Party has essentially stuck by Trump for so long, in spite of all of the disasters, political disasters that Trump has, put forward, the fires that he has started, is because they are very happy with the judges, the judicial nominations he's making, and they're using his presidency to remake our courts and tilt them rightward for decades. What do you make of that theory?
I think you're absolutely correct. The right-wing base is very, very intent on overturning Roe v. Wade, protecting guns, doing away with gay rights, and Trump has been following their agenda with precision. He has put two people on the Supreme Court, radical right-wingers, originalists, who will be on the court for decades, who have cemented a radical conservative majority on the court. He has appointed 29 judges to the Court of Appeals, that's the circuit courts. That is the last stop for most cases because the Supreme Court only hears about 100 cases a year. So the people who sit on the courts of appeals, the circuit courts, are very, very key. And he has put radical right-wing conservative judges on those courts as well. And they have been handing down opinions that Trump's right-wing conservative mean-spirited base loves.
I'm assuming that in order to be nominated for these positions, these judicial positions on the various federal courts, one has to be qualified. Now, we also assumed that in order to work in government agencies and departments, one had to have qualifications, but Trump has thrown that playbook out. Are the judicial nominees that Trump is appointing, are they qualified?
Well, it depends on what you mean by qualified. The American Bar Association said that Kavanaugh was very qualified until their members saw Kavanaugh's performance on television, lying through his teeth and showing evidence of a really unacceptable judicial temperament, basically having a tantrum and turning around questions on senators and being really a bully. And so the American Bar Association is going to reduce their rating to qualified from very qualified. In order to get a nomination from Trump, these judges, we're talking about both for the Supreme Court and the courts of appeals, have to appear on a list provided by the Federalist Society and the Heritage Foundation, two radical right-wing groups whose reason for being is to remake the courts and move them to the right. And so all of these nominees that Trump has brought to the Senate and have been confirmed, and there are many others in the pipeline. I think there are 35 waiting to be confirmed for the rest of the year, lower court judges, circuit court judges, and district court judges, which are the trial judges at the federal level, have all appeared on these lists from the Federalist Society and the Heritage Foundation. That is Trump's litmus test. So if you want to say, are they qualified? I would say no, because in order to be qualified as a judge, you have to be impartial, you have to be independent, and none of these judges is impartial or independent. Hmm.
So essentially, we have these biased judges that you have right-wing organizations, private organizations vetting for the president and being imposed on the country as a whole. What could this mean for the country, for legal decisions that generally have to make their way through these courts before they can get to the Supreme Court, right? Are they all lifetime appointments? Are we looking at decades of legal decisions tilted rightward?
Yes, they are. They are. We're talking about lifetime appointments. The only way that these judges and justices can be removed from the bench is by impeachment. And, you know, that's a real uphill battle.
Right. You could do that for one or two judges, but we're talking dozens and dozens here.
I don't see it happening for any judges. Impeachment is a very tall order. There was impeachment of Bill Clinton in the House of Representatives, and that's really like bringing an indictment. Then it moves to the Senate, and the Senate has to vote by two-thirds after a trial to convict and remove a president or a judge, and that did not happen with Clinton. They were about to impeach, the House of Representatives was about to impeach Richard Nixon, and he resigned before he could be impeached. It's been few and far between the impeachment of judges in our history, very, very few. And so that is not something we can rely on to get rid of these judges who will infect the courts and move them radically to the right for decades to come, imperiling civil rights, rights of women, workers, environmental rights, rights of immigrants, rights of transgendered people, the due process rights, the right of criminal defendants to a fair trial, and on and on and on. All of these things are imperiled by Trump's judges, and he is doing it systematically, and his right-wing base is delighted.
So these judges, the pace of confirming them could have been stopped in 2019 had the Democrats won a majority in the Senate. And going into the midterm elections, it was always known that was going to be a tall order. But essentially, the Republicans have either retained or expanded their majority, especially now with the Florida election being called. There's a Mississippi runoff, but that won't change the dynamic. So we're talking about you sort of wonder why Mitch McConnell is rushing through the end of this year. I'm wondering if they're worried about a Democratic-controlled House impeaching Trump next year, but certainly the Senate won't stop as long as Trump is in power. What about Jeff Flake, Marjorie? Senator Jeff Flake, whose term ends this year because he's stepping down, has threatened to stymie future court picks if Mitch McConnell doesn't allow a vote on a bill to protect the Robert Mueller probe, the special counsel investigation.
Yes, Jeff Flake is a member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, and the Senate Judiciary Committee screens judicial appointments and votes up or down. And then if it's a yes vote and the Senate Judiciary Committee recommends a judge for confirmation, then it moves to the Senate floor and the Senate makes the decision by now 51 votes. There have only been two instances in our history where the Senate has taken up a nomination that has been shot down by the Senate Judiciary Committee. It happens almost never. The Senate Judiciary Committee has 11 Republicans and 10 Democrats, and that's why these nominations have been approved by the Senate Judiciary Committee, and then they've gone to the Senate. Jeff Flake is on that committee, and if Jeff Flake does not vote to confirm or to recommend confirmation of these other 35 judges in the pipeline for the rest of the year, then they would not move, these nominations would not move to the Senate for confirmation unless the Senate were to engage in this rare practice of going over the head of the Senate Judiciary Committee. And so Jeff Flake is basically threatening to hold up all of the rest of the judicial nominations, which McConnell has promised will sail through, these right-wing judges, if McConnell does not allow a vote to protect Robert Mueller's investigation. Because now, as many people know, Trump has fired Jeff Sessions, the attorney general, replaced him with acting attorney general Matt Whitaker. And Matt Whitaker now has the power, assuming, I think that this, and many, many scholars think that, and lawyers think that Matt Whitaker's appointment was illegal because under the Constitution and under our laws, he wasn't confirmed by the Senate. But he is now in power and can stop or curtail the Mueller investigation. He can starve it of funding. He can narrow the scope of the Mueller investigation. He can really suck the life out of it, which is precisely why Trump put him in the position that he's in, instead of elevating Rod Rosenstein, the acting attorney general, and that would have been the logical thing. And so Jeff Flake, who is a real right winger, but is also very intent on letting the Mueller investigation proceed wherever it may lead, is threatening to hold up these judicial nominations if there is no legislation protecting Robert Mueller.
And of course, if he does make good on his threat, it simply means that the confirmations or the votes in the Judiciary Committee, Senate Judiciary Committee, could be postponed to next year, when presumably the Republicans will replace him with another Republican on that committee, right?
That's right. And keep in mind, Sonali, that the Senate now is composed of 51 Republicans and 49 Democrats. So even if McConnell decided to take up judicial nominations that were shot down by the Senate Judiciary Committee because Flake voted against them, and even if Flake were to vote no on the floor of the Senate, that would mean, assuming that people voted along party lines, that would mean that it was a 50-50 tie and Mike Pence would break the tie. So those judges would still be confirmed. It's much more, I think it would be much more prudent from McConnell's point of view to wait until next year, assuming he does not want this legislation to protect Mueller, and he said it's not necessary. And next year, the Republicans will have 52 or 53, depending upon Mississippi, senators. And so it will be easier to get these nominations through. But for some reason, McConnell really wants to ram these judges, these right-wing judges, through by the end of the year. That's his agenda. Again, that could change.
So what do we do? This is one of those stories where there, you know, one wonders, what's the way out of this? The Democrats can't stop it. The public is sitting here going, how are we going to handle this? Ultimately, though, it is Congress that makes laws, right? Marjorie, are we going to be looking at a future where the courts cannot be relied upon to take the decisions that we need to protect our rights, and we need members of Congress that we elect to override court decisions that violate rights?
Yes, well, what the Supreme Court does, and what the courts do in general, is to, and these are the higher courts, the appellate courts, including the Supreme Court, is to review laws passed by Congress to determine whether they're constitutional. So if the Supreme Court, say, struck down a law Congress had passed and talked about what the constitutional infirmities were, then Congress could pass a new statute that would pass constitutional muster. Now, in terms of the strategy of litigants, given the Supreme Court, which is now really badly balanced, imbalanced, I should say, or unbalanced to the right, is to get together and decide whether or not to even appeal cases to the Supreme Court. They're doing this in environmental cases. There are also strategies that litigants, and we're talking about people who are trying to protect civil rights, et cetera, civil liberties, are undertaking. And that is to file cases in state courts instead of federal courts, where the litigants may well get a better shot.
I see. So we are basically looking at changing strategy when it comes to protecting rights. But of course, those on the right who want to challenge rights, they can, or challenge existing law or existing precedent or practice, I should say, can use the courts. So you have a situation where we have a right-wing control of courts now, that are the lower courts going all the way up to the Supreme Court. So the right can use that strategy, can't they?
Yes, of course. The right can use that strategy. The right can appeal cases all the way up. And depending upon the jurisdiction and the circuit, they can expect favorable rulings from Trump-appointed judges. And certainly when they get to the Supreme Court, they can expect that as well. Now, because of the way that Trump is remaking the Supreme Court and moving it radically to the right, stealing Merrick Garland's seat from Obama and installing Gorsuch and then installing Kavanaugh, who has no business being on the court given his judicial temperament, if nothing else. I was one of 2,500 law professors who signed a petition saying we may disagree on the politics, but we all agree that Kavanaugh does not have the proper judicial temperament for the Supreme Court. So Trump has put these justices on the court, and since Justice Kennedy resigned, and of course Kavanaugh took his place, the swing vote now moves to Chief Justice John Roberts, also a radical right winger. But Roberts has a vested interest in maintaining at least the appearance of impartiality and independence on the court, because he's concerned about his legacy. It's the Roberts Court. And for example, he voted to uphold the Affordable Care Act, much to the chagrin of many right wingers who evidently don't need health insurance, or either rich enough and they can buy it on their own. But I think that we can expect perhaps some decisions where Roberts will vote with the liberals in the future to maintain his legacy, to maintain the integrity of the court.
Marjorie, what has the record been so far of those judges that Trump has picked for the lower courts? We've had, you know, a year and a half or so of this breathtaking pace of confirming right-wing judges recommended by the Federalist Society and other right-wing groups, and going through the Trump GOP pipeline, making it onto courts. Are these judges showing that they are just as right-wing as these organizations and Trump intended them to be?
Yes, absolutely. Let me give you some examples. On the Fifth Circuit, and these are all Trump appointees, and they've been confirmed by the Senate, Judges James Ho, Don Willett, Kyle Duncan, and Kurt Engelhardt all voted in a dissent to reconsider a decision upholding a federal gun control law. The Fifth Circuit Judge James Ho cast the deciding vote to erect hurdles to the right to abortion and strongly criticized Roe v. Wade in a concurrence. Third Circuit Judge Stefanos Bibas joined a dissent against protecting transgender students against right-wing attacks. Fifth Circuit Judge Kyle Duncan cast the deciding vote to suspend an injunction and allow the unconstitutional jailing of poor people in Harris County, Texas, to continue. 11th Circuit Judge Kevin Newsom filed a concurrence to reconsider the circuit's precedent that a large cross maintained by the city on public property violated the First Amendment's Establishment Clause, which prohibits the government from making any law respecting an establishment of religion. Seventh Circuit Judge Amy Coney Barrett voted to allow a corporation to racially segregate its workplace in one case, and in another case, she rejected the asylum claim of an immigrant who alleged he was tortured without even considering the merits of the case. Sixth Circuit Judge Amul Thapur voted to allow public officials to lead Christian-only prayers at public Board of Commissioners meetings, and 11th Circuit Judges Kevin Newsom and Lisa Branch issued a ruling against LGBTQ equality in employment. So these judges are not disappointing the Federalist Society and the Heritage Foundation or Trump's radical right-wing base. They are carrying out exactly what they were put on those courts to do, and it can only get worse as more and more of his judges are confirmed by the Senate and join the circuit courts of appeals.
Some people have jokingly, or I suppose in using dark humor, talked about encasing Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg in a protective bubble for the next 2 years. If Trump stays in power for the next 2 years, we could have even a third Supreme Court nominee that he gets to choose, couldn't we?
That's a real danger. Ruth Bader
Ginsburg, the Senate has remained in Republican hands. Yeah,
true. Ruth Bader Ginsburg is 85. She, if you've seen RBG, you know that she works out. She's very disciplined. But she's had two kinds of cancer, including pancreatic cancer, which very few people survive. She broke three ribs and she's back on the job. She has an iron will. I just hope her body holds out. And then Justice Breyer is 80 years old, and we should hope that he remains on the court and remains in good health as well. But it's very dicey, and this is a real danger. Mm-hmm.
Marjorie, we'll link to the article that you wrote on Truthout from our website. Always appreciate having you on. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much, Sonali.
Marjorie Cohn is a professor emerita at the Thomas Jefferson School of Law. Her article on Truthout is called "Trump's Judges Imperil Our Rights for Decades." I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our audio podcast on iTunes, and our video channel on Vimeo.